Final hour, DDC on this Monday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great day to this point. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Hopefully here soon we'll hear from Jerry Stackhouse, who's down in New Orleans. His beloved Tar Heels in the championship game. It's going to be about an 8:15, 8:20 tip tonight. North Carolina and Kansas for the national championship. So we're in a little bit of a stall till Coach Stack calls in. I think he's calling in right now. I will say this, Willie, I'd love to get analytics to what Bicycle Boy threw out there. In all seriousness, what is, like, you know, league-wide, five-hole, top shelf, blocker side, glove side, like where, like how the analytics would play out?
I'll give you the quick answer.
Okay.
And there's a stat that's out there where Nashville has slipped a little bit, and that is passes that go from circle to circle.
Mm-hmm.
Lateral passes.
Okay.
That's how a lot of goals are scored.
Yep.
No matter who the goalie is. And so that's an area I think the Predators need to tighten up.
And that we've seen that play out here lately.
Yeah. Too many passes through the middle. And when you get that, they call it I think it's the golden road. If you complete a pass from circle to circle, you're on the golden road.
Oh, well, that power play goal for Buffalo,
yep,
that
game-winning goal,
circle to circle.
Yep.
All right, let's go down to New Orleans. Let's check in with Coach Stack. Jerry Stackhouse is on the line with us. His beloved Tar Heels are in the national championship game. Coach, thanks for joining us. I'll tell you what, Saturday night, rarely, we've talked about on the show today, does the hyped game live up to the hype? But Saturday night, the hyped game lived up to the hype.
No doubt, man. It was a great game, great performances, obviously great teams, great coaches involved, and we definitely lived up to the billing, man. The competitive greatness of those guys really showed up there at the end of the game, made big plays, and glad my team was on the winning end of it.
How nervous were you watching that game down the stretch, back and forth, back and forth?
Again, I guess you kind of get used to it. I mean, standing on the sidelines, I was in the same mode. My arms were folded. I was from section 141, row 11. But I was just trying to help him wheel him across the finish line, man. But no, those guys really stepped up and performed. I thought the defensive efforts was huge. I mean, I thought AJ Griffin, Leaky Black's job on AJ Griffin was a huge factor in the game, and even Manic, even though he's not known for his defense, he did a really good job on Paolo coming down the stretch, man. And I think those two plays was the biggest difference in the game.
Hey, if you can get Pippen back next year and find a way to clone Bacot and get him to come to Vanderbilt, the clone, I think you guys are going to be awesome next year.
Man, I tell you what, I don't think I'm going to lose too many games if I get somebody to get 20 rebounds. You know,
that guy is unstoppable.
Unbelievable, man. I mean, you know, not only what he does on the offensive end, being a presence down there, but I mean, just again, like you said, rebounding the basketball. We're hoping that, you know, the big man that we're coming in as a freshman can have that type of dominance for us, Lee Dorch, man. I think he's that type of rebounder. And, you know, when we play defense the way that we're capable of playing, it's always about finishing it off with the rebound. And he does a great job for North Carolina. Hopefully our guy can come in and do some of those similar things.
Nice. Good to know. So how do you see this, Jerry, this one playing out tonight? I mean, you've seen both teams, but what do you like about both? What do you, you know, what advantage do you give to North Carolina? What advantage do you give to Kansas? How do you see that?
Man, no, I really think it's going to be a battle, man. It's going to come down to, you know, what these guys are able to do on the biggest stage of what they've learned this year. I mean, two, you know, really well-coached teams, talented teams. You know, in the backcourt as well in the front court. You know, hopefully Bacot is, you know, is healthy. I know he went down. He scared us all a little bit, you know, going down with that ankle injury late. And but I think he's, you know, he's going to be out there. He's going to play. I think McCormick played really well for Kansas. That's going to be a huge matchup there. Abaji's playing, you know, at a high level. So he's going to, you know, Leaky Black is going to have to be the defensive stopper that he is and limit him. And then you got the point guard matchup with RJ and Remy Martin. So I think it's billed to be a great game, and hopefully there's just no letdown from, you know, the Duke game. I was joking. I said my son, he went to North Carolina as well. He's 25, and, you know, know, he was on Instagram. Somebody was in the background. Well, you're going to lose Monday night. He's like, I don't care as long as we beat this.
Oh, no.
Half of the fan base is, you know, they're satisfied with just beating Duke and ending Coach K's career. But for us purists, we want to get that job all the way done tonight.
Oh, I could feel Dad cringing as he was telling that story.
We're talking to Coach Stackhouse. He's down in New Orleans watching this beloved Tar Heels play tonight in the national championship game. Now, Coach, there was a few moments in the game the other night where Coach Davis called timeouts after Duke made free throws. And I was wondering, like, why is he calling a timeout to help Duke set up their plays? What goes through a coach's mind when he does something like that?
Well, no, I mean, I think it was, I thought the same thing, and I thought Coach K called a timeout. I mean, I thought he was just trying to, you know, to manage it, really, and I thought you can overmanage a game, and I thought, you know, coming down the stretch, they had made some basket, Coach K called a timeout right after the basket, you know, where they went up, and they was only left with one. I was like, why was there a timeout here? You know, so I just think it was, a little questionable, but man, I think sometimes you just want to get some things set up. But it didn't come out in any change of defense. I thought, you know, maybe it would be a zone or something like that. Both teams just strictly played man to man the whole game. There was never any wrinkles from the defensive side. So, but you know, I just knew that it was a game that's going to come down to the end and come down to the balance. And for them to not have any timeouts late was a little weird. Since he didn't waste any of his, he had an opportunity to just kind of call and maybe set up, you know, whatever he wanted to go with defensively. But I mean, it was a little strange to say the least.
Well, you have to love how conditioned Carolina is as a ball team, because Hubert Davis not until Bacot got hurt, he didn't make any substitutions in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way they've been played, and they haven't been. You know, they had some guys that come in and had some few good minutes there, but, you know, it's not a deep team. That's one thing that worries me a little bit, you know, especially with them having a presence inside with McCormick and Lightfoot, that if, you know, Bacot was to get into any early foul trouble, there's really not a lot of depth behind him or any depth that we've seen so far. You know, a couple kids have gotten a little bit of Dontrez Styles has gotten a few minutes, you know, spot minutes here. Puff Johnson has gotten a few minutes, but not much after that. You know, Guy Kerr and Walton, who played a lot for him last year and made shots for him last year, hadn't really been in the rotation this year. But could be one of those games where you need somebody, one of those X factors, to come in and give you some help and spark off the bench.
We're talking to Coach Jerry Stackhouse, Vanderbilt Commodores. He is on hand at the Final Four in New Orleans, North Carolina, and Kansas for the title tonight. Coach, I watched the NIT final with Xavier winning there. I'm just curious, you guys took Xavier right to the wire on the road. That game could have gone either way. Came down to one possession there. What kind of momentum does that give you? Seeing Xavier go on and win that thing, how does that maybe provide a little lift and confidence to your group going forward next year?
Well, I mean, I think it should. I mean, it should, you know, register with our guys that we're capable of definitely winning the NIT tournament. We should have won that game. You know, we had multiple, you know, leads that, you know, just didn't, you know, make some smart plays, you know, fouls, you know, three-point shooter up nine, you know, giving them free throws. You know, that's, you know, a situation where you got to make guys, you know, make baskets on it. And they did, coming down the stretch. You know, maybe a call or two that if, you know, it's flip and we're at home, maybe Scotty gets one of those bumps going to the basket, you know, because he was definitely fouled, in my opinion. But on the road, you have to expect that. And on the other end, you know, Kunkel made plays. He went to the basket and made plays down the stretch. And, you know, we won back to shore. We had an opportunity at the end to possibly win the game on a late, you know, late second shot that didn't go our way. But I think it's definitely a confidence builder for our team. We know that we're a tournament team. I mean, I think when you look at, that team that we had on the floor, you know, there, you know, from the SEC tournament on, that was a team that we kind of envisioned for most of the season. But, you know, injuries with Rodney and Lim, But it, unfortunately for us, they did were able to come back, and then some of those tough growing moments that we had during during the earlier part of the season, where I still felt we should have won the game. Without Rodney or without Lynn, we should have won six or seven more games in my mind, just by handling situations that we just needed to handle better. But I thought those growth moments allowed us to handle those moments a lot better down the stretch, coming down in March, and we were able to perform a lot better in the SEC tournament, and then we carried that momentum into the NIT. And hopefully after that big summer and adding some more quality depth throughout our roster, that we're able to build on that and also to get to the tournament, man. I'm sitting there watching that game. We could beat any one of those teams that play. North Carolina, Kansas tonight, we could beat any one of those teams. And hopefully our guys, understand that, they're seeing that, they're watching it, and just come back with a lot of energy again. It would be great to be whole and, get Scotty back in the mix, and hopefully he makes his decision soon, because, whether he comes back or not, we still have to keep forging forward and being able to be a player in the transfer portal. Right now, we've got one scholarship available to go out and try to add some talent there, and depending on what he decides to do, it could be an opportunity to do that with a couple of guys. There's definitely some quality guys that I feel that could come in and help us there, but obviously more importantly, we'd love to have him back here if he sees fit.
Well, there's so many people that would be so excited if he came back. But, of course, that's all sort of a selfish I'm one of them, right? I'd love to see him play another year because I'm so excited.
What he can do, man. I think he could really become
the question.
Most decorated player and really the most decorated player, man. He got a chance to become an all-time leading scorer and do some things that probably not a lot of people thought he could do coming in here. And he's developed and he's earned it, man. He's worked his way into becoming the player that he is. And a great citizen off the court. I think he really enjoys being in school. So we'll wait and see. We'll keep our fingers crossed.
So how do you try to be balanced with that? Because you're a mentor. You've been through the process yourself. You went through this process with Scotty last year. So how do you try to give him the accurate information?
I do. We go and, we just sent off. I just signed a form to just kind of go get feedback from the league and where they think that he would get drafted. They turned that around pretty quickly. So I think if he comes back and he says that he's a late first round pick and maybe possibly early second round pick, then that's maybe something to really consider. But if that's not the case, then let's run it back, give us a chance to improve your stock even more. Because I think, teams know that he can play the game, and now we got an opportunity to really show that he can win. I think that they start to see that toward the end, that, him, making decisions to help us win games and how that can really translate to that next level. Again, because we talked about it last summer of him coming back and doing that this year. And so it's a fine balance of not, it's his decision this time. So, I think it's for him and his family to say that this is what they want to continue, and I'm going to support him as I would have last year, but I'm going to support him either way he decides.
All right, let's end on the toughest question you're going to get in this interview. What's the Haribo situation for tonight's game? Did you go through all the gummies on Saturday night? Do you still have some for tonight or what?
Man, I got the sugar-coated Haribo. I'm not going with the regular ones. I'm going with the sugar-coated tonight.
It's going to be a late night is what you're saying.
No doubt, man.
Coach, always good to catch up with you. Have fun down there. Know you are. Best of luck tonight, and we look forward to talking to you soon.
Appreciate you guys. Go Heels and anchor down.
All right. There you go. You got them both in. Jerry Stackhouse down in New Orleans. He's going to watch North Carolina. Can his alma mater get it done tonight against Kansas? He's going with the sugar hair bows. It is definitely going to be a late night.
A little extra.
Little
championship
extra
on the line.
Need that pep.
Little extra oomph. I just thought he would take a nap, but I guess he's just going to throw in the sugar gummy bears. We're going to come back. Vili is going to have a topic that we're going to discuss. We're going to do that next here on the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game. When the Preds are playing during the week, you've got a chance to win. Yes, it's Preds Pick to Click. tomorrow morning, 8:45. Jump in there. You get selected. You just pick a player to score a goal. If it happens, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future home game. Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Of course, Preds hosting the Wild tomorrow night. Good stuff from Jerry Stackhouse down in New Orleans. Really, you know, nothing new there on the Scottie Pippen front. He has never shied away with it in our conversations with him. I feel like he's been optimistic every time we've had him on, which is why when we talked about it a bunch last week, I said over and over again, my gut feeling is he's coming back. That was my, and I think, Derek, you said he's coming back. And, Willie, I don't remember if you were definitive one way or the other. I think you were leaning toward he's coming back. But, again,
he turned into Billy.
No,
he wanted to come back.
Look, everything I have heard during the season was he'd really like to move on and go pro. But I think Coach Stackhouse just hit the sweet spot, and that is – and I had not – look, you guys – have had a couple of extra conversations with him where I haven't been here,
yep.
And I haven't heard every interview he's done when he's been asked about it. But
we've
looked
at the mocks. He's not projected. Jerry Stackhouse said if he's projected low first, early second, the mocks I've looked at, he's not even projected in the to be drafted.
That is my impression too. When I watch him play, he's a very special college player, and this is no knock at him. I think there are a lot of people that fit this category. Let's even take high school. There are a lot of really good high school football players who put up all kinds of numbers. But for one reason or another, they don't project to be great college players. Right? And everybody's wondering, how does this guy not get a scholarship? You know, there's always that guy, right? And some people are dead wrong about these people, too. Sometimes
they
overlook people. But I think it's even tougher when you're talking about great, unique college players who, for whatever reason, don't go on to the NBA. Shane Foster. You know, I mean, there's you can go through a long line of great college players who weren't quite able to make it work in the NBA. Then there's that odd guy that doesn't seem like he's a great college player that plays for 10 years in the NBA.
Well, because there's not much turnover in the NBA because of the rosters are so small.
And you've got like a worldwide talent base now that wasn't the case 30 years ago.
Look,
Oscar Tshiebwe.
Thank you. I don't know why I just all of a sudden had a blank. I was getting ready to go Oscar Tshiebwe. When I remember looking, because we to have
I don't
this
think he's a consensus no, number
was,
one pick.
Number one, everything I saw was like second round.
He might not get drafted.
Yeah,
second round is where I saw him. I'm trying to think. I think even like pretty sure Drew Timmy was like late second round. I think when I looked. I think that's right.
That sounds about right, too. They just don't pass well enough as centers.
Again, great college player, but what does it project in the NBA?
Yeah, Drew Timmy, late second round. Not even like a high second round, middle. Late second round, Drew Timmy. To your point, Willie, those are two outstanding college players, right? They're projected in the second round. One high, one low.
But so
I don't see where Scottie Pippen is projected in any of the mocks I've looked at.
Well, let's take a couple of the greatest players in Vanderbilt history. All right, Billy McCaffrey, two-time All-American, averaged over 20 points a game two straight years, SEC co-player of the year, was not drafted. I would have bet anything he was going to be drafted, let alone in the second round. I mean, I thought he'd be in the first round. Wasn't drafted and battled for years, had a great international career, never quite cracked a lineup in the NBA. Same thing with Shane Foster. Tremendous college player. Didn't quite get the right spot in the NBA. So my point is, Scottie Pippen, if he's not projected to be in that spot, surefire first-round pick. As you heard Coach Stack say, he could accomplish a lot next year. He could get up into that all-time great category. He can do something that hasn't been done since he's been there, and that's get them back to the NCAA tournament. That would be a great accomplishment. That's a lifetime thing that you can always look back on that you don't get in the G League. You know, people don't remember if you led the Bridgeport whatever they're called up there to the G League playoffs. That's just not how it works, mm-hmm. you know? So that would be the argument. So I was interested. Coach Stackhouse has coached in the G League, mm-hmm. right? He was a long time. He left college early to go pro. So I think he would be able to give you an honest perspective of what all these levels are like and what's there. And then, as we talked about last week, there's the NIL as well, so that, you know, the whole money part of it isn't maybe what it was a couple years ago.
Well, I think what it probably more than likely boils down to for him is, one, where would I, after they do their evaluations, where would they project me? And then, two, I think, how much do I enjoy the college life? And it's, okay, do I want to take the college life or the G League life? Which one do I want to take?
Right.
You know, to me,
if you're trying to be realistic, exactly. and say, I'm not going to go right into the league on uh-huh. a roster, I may not have to be able to do that. So do I want to wait one more year before I go through that process? Or am I ready for that process?
Well, when you say surefire first round, there is no mock. If that's the criteria, he's coming back to Vanderbilt, because there's no mock that I've looked at that has him in the first round.
But I you know, it's just one of those. It's you get to enjoy the rest of your college career. You graduate. You probably don't have to take many classes because you're probably on the cusp of graduating anyway. And you just, I don't even think the NIL plays any bearing yeah, on
gravy.
Whether he come back or
gravy.
Not. Yeah. I think it's just the college experience. And also, like Coach Stack said, you have an opportunity. Not many people can say you have an opportunity to be one of the greatest basketball players to come out of a university. In this situation, Vanderbilt, not many people can say that coming out of college, whether they're drafted or not. Like, you could be the top scorer mm-hmm. in Vanderbilt's history. So that may mean something to him.
Look, I'll stand with it. I've been saying it the whole time. Every time we have this discussion, I think he's coming back. I want to be right on this. I don't want to be wrong, because I'd like to see them with, you know, everybody available. What can they do? Can they be a tournament team? I thought it was very interesting when he said we could beat any of these teams. You know, with the team that we were trotting out there, I was like, oh, okay. You know, and we know they finished strong when they had the complement of players there on the court. They did at the end. They didn't have available early on in the season what it looked like. He talked about a big man coming in there that maybe can get them the type of rebounds that we were talking about. So it'll be very interesting to see. He said should have news here soon on that decision. No surprise there. We'll come back and we will get to the top that Willie's going to throw
Prepare.
Out.
D-Mace is really going to like this one.
Prepare. But I'm going to talk to you about my friends at Cool Springs MD. You know, I've been talking about them for years. You've heard me discuss how they've made me healthier and happier. Who doesn't want to improve their quality of life? I know I do. You should too, and I know a lot of you have gone there, and that's exactly what they've done for you as well. But if you haven't, and you would love to shed some pounds, maybe you know, you've tacked on some unwanted pounds here lately that you would like to get rid of as we get closer to the warmer months, well, weight loss management is important to them. They've got programs and products and people that can get you back on track and headed in the right direction. Rejuvenation, your appearance is important, but man, is it more challenging the older we get? Well, their experienced staff can sit down with you and talk to you about PRP, hair removal, Botox, and finally, hormone therapy. Have you been feeling off lately? Haven't felt yourself and you can't figure out why? Like, what is going on? Maybe you don't have the same drive, you don't have the same energy, maybe experiencing mood swings. These are all things that can affect you or will affect you, but maybe you just need to get your levels checked and realize that as we get older, those levels go down, and those can that can affect you in these areas. And they'll be more than happy to discuss BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. They do it all, and they do it all under one roof there in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle. If you want to learn everything about them, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com, or you can always pick up the phone and schedule an appointment or a consultation by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Vili, floor is yours, man.
All right, I was debriefing D-Mace on this. Darren, you've probably seen this. One of the great streaks of all time just ended over the weekend. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago when he set the record. But Keith Yandel in the NHL has played in 989 consecutive games, set the record. There's also a guy named Phil Kessel who is only a few games behind, who still has an active streak going. Over the weekend, the Flyers healthy scratched Keith Yandel. It ended the streak. Now, the Flyers, as people probably know if you follow hockey, they're not going to the playoffs. They're not going anywhere. So one school of thought is, hey, just play out the string. He's on a one-year deal. Play to the end. He can get the 1,000 mark. That'd be a pretty cool milestone. He'll keep his lead over Phil Kessel. And then you can have him move on, and somebody else can choose to sign him or not sign him. It's not on you. And so people were really outraged. A lot of people were very outraged. Linda Cohn went on a rant this morning on NHL radio on the satellite, adamantly saying that this was a bad move by the Flyers, no class. Some of his teammates really stepped up and were upset that he wasn't in. Then you have others that are saying, look, you're not entitled to just get in the lineup. You have to earn your way in the lineup. If his play is diminished and you've got other guys you want to take a look at as a franchise, you can't be beholden to the streak. So it's a really interesting debate to me. Mike Rupp, who from NHL Network, he sort of represented the other side. He did a big video saying, look, we can't just be manufacturing these records just for the record. If he's not good enough to be in your lineup, you shouldn't be entitled to just show up and play if you're not earning your spot. So, D-Mace, I'm going to throw it at you first because you didn't miss any games, right? You rarely miss games in your career. This is the kind of thing that could have happened to you, right? So, Keith Yandel is not injured. He was ready to keep going. So, how do you feel about that? That's an interesting one.
I mean, I missed two games due to injury. But beside that, didn't miss any, whether I was hurt or not. It was just two that kept me out. I couldn't do anything. I wanted to, but just couldn't. It sort of falls in that same category as Eli Manning. You remember what happened to Eli Manning?
That's exactly what Linda Cohn brought up. Yeah. She went on this rant. Of course, she, you know, she's a New Yorker, right? So she brought up the Eli Manning where they just unceremoniously ended his streak, benched him, and put Daniel Jones in. And, of course, in hindsight, Daniel Jones hasn't done a whole lot. So, in retrospect, a lot of people were really defending that streak.
Because it was like, okay. And then they put Eli back in. I think they ended up putting Eli back in. Obviously, the Flyers knew about the streak.
Yep, they sure did.
And there had to be talks amongst, you know, front office, coaches, saying, hey, listen, you know, he's playing well. Let's get him this streak and keep going. You know, there couldn't have been a discussion of okay, because if he wasn't playing well, it just didn't start that game. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like if you were gonna do it, you should have done it way before. Like, oh, we want to play you, but your game has diminished that much, and now we want to give these younger kids an opportunity. It just looked real fishy now, and people get upset. Like, we got a handful of games left. Just let them ride the season out. Like you said, Willie, off air, you can release them after that. Let it be somebody else's decision whether they're going to pick him up or not. But you knew about the streak. You kept him in there so he can get the streak. Just let him finish the season out. It's not like you got 40 games left, you know? You got a handful of games. Let him finish it out. You're not going anywhere. And to me, his play couldn't have diminished that much that they said, okay.
From 2 weeks ago.
Exactly. You're gone. We're going to sit you on the bench. You're not playing.
That's the interesting thing to me. So, Darren, you've been following this. Now, you also remember Keith Yandel was on the Florida Panthers. And at the beginning of the season, they sort of sent the signals that, hey, we're probably going to sit you out. I think it was going even back to last year. They were torn. So they, when he joined the Flyers like, we will get you the streak.
Mm-hmm.
Once the streak's over, we can't guarantee we're just going to keep you in the lineup to keep the streak going. So how do you feel about it, Darren?
I guess I would want to know, what does Philadelphia have to gain by doing this at this point in the season?
Mm-hmm.
What is their gain from this?
I guess
what are they trying to accomplish?
Get a younger player, a more deserving player in the lineup.
Okay.
And what I don't know, I don't watch Keith Yandle play every night to be able to tell you, you know, he's just out there taking up space. He didn't make any impact in either of the games against the Predators. And so maybe that's just it. They just don't feel like he deserves to be in the lineup, and they've got to move on. So it's just he's playing for the sake of just keeping him in there to play, and not he's helping us try to win games.
With all due respect, with all due respect, that's, you know, as long as you say that, you can say whatever you want. Yeah. Love Linda Cohn. And, you know, love, she comes on all the time. But, I mean, they don't owe anybody anything. I mean, what if somebody's not good enough, since when do we owe a professional athlete them something?
I think no. I think at some situations you do, as a franchise, owe that player whatever it is they're trying to accomplish. I do. Not everybody, but some people. That franchise, depending on what they've done for that franchise, you do owe them, like, oh, okay.
I don't think Philadelphia, they don't owe him anything because they don't really have any history.
Yeah.
That is the difference between Eli Manning, who was entire career the Giants.
Entire career.
Keith Yandle just joined the Flyers this year, mm-hmm. So there's probably not that emotional attachment that there was to Eli. I think of Cal Ripken. Cal Ripken just basically decided one day, all right, this is it. It's time for this to end. And remember, they had the ceremonial, he's coming out, they put the other guy in, and that was it. So I think it's a really interesting question, though, because it's such a unique thing, a streak. Like, you've got to love the ability for this guy to be able to clock in at work as long as he has. And so on one hand, you kind of want to see how long it would go before something ended it. And maybe the end of the season would have been the better breaking point, but that's why now is the interesting time. They're not going to the playoffs, and they don't, in my view, I don't think there's a specific guy they want to call up and say, we want to look at this guy. Not that I've heard, anyway. Maybe there is, but I just found the timing pretty interesting. But I do agree, Darren, that if you feel like he's honestly not one of your best six defensemen, you can't let the streak just be the only reason you're putting him in there.
Yeah, I mean, can it not? I mean, if there was a discussion that says, okay, we're going to let him get the streak, and if he knows that anything beyond the streak, we're not guaranteeing you, then okay, then it's fine. You know, it's fine. If they had that discussion, like, listen, we're going to allow you to break the streak, but after that, like Darren said, hey, we're trying to get some of these younger guys in. Now, if that was the conversation, then okay. Because what was his response?
He handled it very classy. He basically said, look, they did say when I joined the team, if you can keep playing, you can break the record with us.
Mm-hmm.
But they did say after that, we kind of have to make a decision at some point. You got to keep earning it. So they were fair to him in terms of letting him know on the front end.
Isn't that all you can do?
That's all you can do.
Right.
Now, what would be sad is if Phil Kessel passes him, because he's been ahead of Phil Kessel all these years.
Mm-hmm.
And the Coyotes have sort of gone to great lengths to keep Kessel's streak going. There was the time, I forget, his wife was having a baby or something. They flew him in on a charter plane. There's some story, you know,
he
a private jet.
Started the game and then left.
Started the game and then left,
yeah.
So he could get out of there. So what does it mean if you're doing these things to keep a streak alive? It's debatable.
Yep. Willie, tell us about Lee Company.
All right, Lee Company, that's going to continue. A great sponsor of Nashville Predators hockey. The next chapter is tomorrow night against the Minnesota Wild. Look at the standings. That's all you need to know how important that game is tomorrow. And there are 9 home games left. Lee Company's a big sponsor of Nashville Predators hockey. Their display is all over Bridgestone Arena. Take a look for it when you walk into Smashville. Also, keep in mind that this is a great time of the year to be on the home maintenance plan because you're going to get that annual checkup of your air conditioning unit. Then in the fall, when the weather's about to turn cold, you get the check on the heating unit, plus your plumbing system and your electric system. It's a good thing to have going for you around the clock. It'll keep you on your toes. It'll keep your house running efficiently. That's what you want, because over time you're going to save money, because they'll locate problems before they become big problems, and you get discounts on the repairs if you pay that small monthly fee to be part of the home maintenance plan. It's a good system. It works for us. We've had it in our house for a long time. Lee Company, 615-567-1000. Call them and ask about the home maintenance plan. That's 615-567-1000.
We're back here on 102.5 The Game. We're coming down the stretch. Here's a song from Remember the Titans. Derek, you and I were talking about the new show about the Lakers.
Uh-huh.
Where the actor, and his name slips my mind, but
Avon Barksdale.
Well, yeah, so how about these three great roles? He was Julius in Remember the Titans. Uh-huh. Great movie. That's where that song reminds me of. Then Avon Barksdale in The Wire. Mm-hmm. And now he's Spencer Haywood. He just made his debut last night. They just traded for Spencer Haywood for the 79-80 Lakers. And so those are fun. I mean, those are three pretty fun roles to play.
He was Barksdale first and then Julius in Remember the Titans.
I think Remember the Titans was before The Wire, wasn't
it?
What year did The Wire
come
out?
Yeah, you're right, because it was when I was still here. The Wire came out once I got to, it might have been 03 when The Wire came out.
Wood Harris is the name of the actor. Mm-hmm. All right, now let's find out when The Wire came out. And by the way, Wood Harris is 52 years old, and he's playing Spencer Haywood. That's pretty strong. He's got to keep in pretty good shape to do that. Let's see. The Wire came out in – where is it? Oh, this is – I'm looking 04. At film. Okay, TV.
It had to be 03,
The Wire, 02. 02. 02 was the first year of The Wire.
Okay. So, yeah, I was still here.
Apparently, he also played Jimi Hendrix in a television film. I don't remember that, but that's another fun role to play. Guy's had a heck of a career.
Do you guys remember you just made the list on Friday?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Do you remember who I put on the list?
Potato cakes?
Yes.
Always the correct answer.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. A musician? Remember?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I saw it this morning on the news. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, isn't church.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
He's decided to give them a free show out of it.
Oh, wow. That's right.
That was
isn't
selfish
that
of me. I shouldn't have. Yeah,
isn't
yeah, yeah.
Isn't that
yada, yada.
Something? That's called reaction to blowback, right? Reaction to blowback.
You know what they say? It's better to ask for forgiveness.
That's right.
You know?
I just, that one. That was disappointing.
That's still, it's just like, dude, seriously.
Didn't he release a statement saying like he's appreciative of fans for allowing him to do this?
Yeah, as he did.
Took
a
poll.
It was
like kind
they
of didn't
weak
allow
sauce.
Him to do anything. Yeah. Okay, dude, you made the decision. They didn't say, hey, a raise of hands. Who's okay?
You guys
San
okay
Antonio.
With me?
San Antonio, raise your hands if you're okay me going to New Orleans.
And they're not having it at the same venue, right?
No, I think it's going to be.
It's like an hour away.
So I don't know how that works. It's just going to be a smaller venue, so I don't know how that's going to work. But
and then will all the people that wanted to get in, will they get in?
I don't know. But I said on Friday, I was like, if he really wanted to go to the game, he would tell those people, sorry, but I'll do another show for free. And he's doing that, but he's doing it in a smaller place. So I don't know how that's going to work. But
it's a little bit too late, I think. Even though people still go, I just think it's one of those – you know, okay, the blowback was huge. Let me do something here.
It's just, again, we've talked about this so much over the years. Like, how do they not have somebody? It's one thing maybe if he can't see it. You know, you get. Yeah, I'd love to walk in those shoes, but you know, we're never going to be. I'm never going to be that famous and that rich, so I'm never going to feel or know what that's like. Where you kind of get maybe lost into maybe reality, okay? And maybe you just don't. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't read things like we can. But don't you have somebody in your camp that can get to you and say, "Yeah, hey Eric, here's the deal. That's going to piss a lot of people off. So,
like, this will be major.
Let's have a plan to counter when people go ape, to use Pete Weber's line. Okay, so when they go ape, let's have a counterattack to that, like a free show. You know, something like how does somebody not a preemptive strike in his camp?
No, it should have been somebody that said, as soon as he said that, you know, I'm thinking about going, I'm going to go to Carolina again. I'm going to blow off this concert. Somebody should have said, no, you're not. That's not a smart move. I don't want to have to do, you know, PR work after the fact. I don't want to have to clean up this mess after the fact. No, just don't go. That would have been a smart thing. Just don't go. Watch it on television.
It's a great thought, Derek. Probably that person thought, you know, if I do that, then he's probably going to get somebody else who will clean up his mess.
But it has to be somebody that you're not paying, that somebody else is paying, like the label is paying, and say, listen, I don't think that's a good idea.
And we've seen a lot of movies where this isn't a good idea, guys.
Exactly. He comes out of there. He comes out of nowhere.
You got to be pretty strong.
He or she comes out of nowhere, and then everybody dismisses them. But that he should have had one of those people. Hey, listen, I don't think that's a good idea. Did you go to Carolina? Nope. I really don't think it's a good idea. Yeah. No. Mm-mm.
According to Ian Rappaport, you know, this whole Rich Samini stuff, it's amazing. Because A.J. Brown has reacted to it. D.K. Metcalf has. But according to Ian Rappaport, it says there are a lot of teams calling Seattle about trading for D.K. Metcalf.
I don't know why these guys even – it's like – okay, on one hand, the guys say, what are every athlete or anything? I don't listen to that stuff. I don't And then on the other hand, they always commenting on something that doesn't have real true validity. It's like you see it, and if the Titans hadn't said anything, your agent hadn't said anything, it's like I'm not going to comment on it. It is what it is.
DK Metcalf responded to that tweet and said, haven't heard anything, comma, per, and then he put at and DK his own Twitter handle.
It's like, man, I just leave it alone. Because now you're giving it more fuel. You add more fuel. You're letting it run a little bit longer than what it should.
It just doesn't make – why, if you're Rich Samini or anybody who might be a hopeful Jets person, would like – why wouldn't you just ask anybody in Nashville? Like, the Titans don't want to – they're not trading A.J. Brown.
I don't think he's
not on the trading block.
I don't think he's saying it will happen. I think what he's saying is, well, since they missed out on Tyreek Hill, what other – you know, big-time wide receiver can potentially be out there. DK Metcalf, we know there. It seems like they're having a fire sale in Seattle. So, okay.
See, I don't know about that one. It's just interesting to me. Like, there was one Jets fan that had his mom in a – or his grandmother in the cage. I have my grandmother locked in this cage. I'm not letting her out until A.J. Brown is a Jet.
Yeah.
It's a funny picture, too. This poor woman is in a cage. Hey, looked like a bird cage.
I've seen it happen. When you walk into the room, you know, and that guy is not there no more. Justin McCarron got traded to the Jets. We didn't know anything about it. Not a thing. And he had just came off a really good season. And they traded him to the Jets. Didn't know until we walked in the building.
We saw with Freddie Freeman, crazy things happen.
Mm-hmm.
I will go out on a limb and say they're not trading A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
At the risk of having it freezing cold take.
Nothing's definite. That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't say never.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like when I told Chase, I was pumping the brakes on Freddie. Yeah. Just saying.
Hey, Freddie Freeman.
He's not going anywhere. Mr. Brave is here forever. Ever and ever. Got that on good authority to be the first signing we'll hear with the Dodgers. That'll do it for our show today. Have a great rest of your Monday. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. We'll see you then.